It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Out here in Colorado, we had a sex education bill that was passed. It was signed by the governor and put into law. I just can't believe what is happening to public education.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
We are now using policy that if you don't affirm something, that they use policy then to take away your businesses.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Kids are just being bombarded with darkness.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
You know, we need to get back to letting our kids be kids.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Indeed, it is hump day. You've made it through half of the week. Welcome to the show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. It is Kim Munson. That's MONSON.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. All kinds of great information there. All of our upcoming guests, our podcasts that we roll out each week, as well as our super op-eds. So be sure and sign up for that. And please go over to Facebook and give us a like. We would greatly appreciate that. We've got a great show planned for you today. We'll talk with Chris Cantwell, Trans World Business Advisors, in this first segment. He's in the business of helping people buy and sell their dreams, if you will. And so we'll talk to him about that. Second segment, Matt Durkin. He's the Jefferson County candidate for DA. And we're seeing an increase in crime in many of our cities, including the metro area here in Denver. And it is very important for our communities to be safe so that we can go after our life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. So we'll talk with Matthew in that second segment. And then, wow, on the third and fourth segment, Lawrence Reed. He is the president emeritus of Foundation for Economic Education. He has a book out as well as some op-eds regarding, was Jesus a socialist? I tell you, the first time somebody told me that Jesus was a socialist, I'm like, huh? And so this will be a very good conversation, Producer Steve.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to it. Hey, I'm sorry to do this to you because I didn't warn you. You just talked about the podcast. Perhaps we should just do a quick little deal on the value of a podcast.
Well, we're able to actually go into these issues with a little bit more in-depth questions. It's a bit more of a conversation, and we're not constricted by the broadcast clock. And so we're able to just delve into these issues a little bit more, which I think is really helpful as well. So we've got the show, we've got the podcast, we've got the op-eds, we've got all that we do on social media, and we're working diligently to bring forth truth to help you get your brains around these issues. Anything else you want to say about the podcast, Steve?
No, you've already touched base on it. We're basically doubling our reach in terms of the topical things that we are constrained by in 5 hours of broadcast per week. This really allows us to go that much further.
Most definitely. So be sure and check those out. We roll them out in the newsletter each week, and then they are on the website at kimmunson.com. We look at these issues, my friends. Rudyard Kipling, this is just the basis of critical thinking. He wrote The Jungle Book. He lived around the turn of the 20th century, and he said, I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who. You know, and one of my questions, Steve, on this whole COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption, now we're in this big mask fight, to mask or not to mask. And instead of it being a choice, it's being a force. But where have you heard anybody recently tell you to wash your hands for how long when you sing happy birthday to yourself? Don't you remember that in the early part of this is wash your hands for whatever it was, 20 seconds? I haven't heard anybody recently say wash your hands. Have you?
No, I guess I'm too busy listening to the governor call us names for not wanting to. So I guess that just got pushed aside.
Yeah, we'll get to that in just a moment. Let's continue on. Love to always let you know how grateful I am for you, our listeners, and also for this team that I get to work with. Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, I really appreciate all of you. Our quote for today is from Lawrence Reed, Larry Reed. He became the president of the Foundation for Economic Education, FEE, in 2008 after serving as chairman of its board of trustees in the 1990s and both writing and speaking for FEE since the late 1970s. He previously served for 21 years as president of the Mackinac Center for Public Policy in Midland, Michigan. He also taught economics full-time from 1977 to 1984 at Northwood University in Michigan and chaired its Department of Economics from 1982 to 1984. Okay, here is the quote. He said, "My take on socialism is this. Socialism only seems to work when you don't fully implement it, when you keep enough capitalism around to pay socialism's bills, at least for a time. It's the difference between milking the cow and killing it. Socialism has no theory of wealth creation. It's just a destructive, envy-driven fantasy about redistributing it after something else or somebody else creates it first." And I think that pretty well nails what's going on. We're going to have a big decision here on November 3rd. Fortunately, probably the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption reaction will it'll be over on November 4th. Now, depending on who wins the election, we'll see what happens. If Trump wins, we'll continue to see this assault on Trump and, you know, what he is trying to implement as far as getting the power back to the people, lowering taxes, standing up for everyday hardworking people. If Biden happens to win, the assault on Trump turns around to the assault on us. That's what's going to happen. Very quickly, you mentioned it. The governor the other night put on Facebook, you know, he's been saying, I don't know if I can even say the words that he's saying. So wear your Cherry Creek Dam mask. How's that? I don't know if I can say that. So wear your damn mask. That's what he's saying. And the other thing is he's calling us all names if, in fact, we don't wear masks. So this has moved away from flatten the curve, wash your hands, to if you don't do what we say, we're going to actually penalize businesses. We're going to use the force of the health departments to force these businesses to do something. It's a very dangerous time in America. But you know what? We're Americans. And I think we're going to get through this. We're creative. We're innovative. We like our own businesses. And on the line with me is Chris Cantwell with Transworld Business Advisors. And he is in the business of helping people buy and sell their dreams. Chris Cantwell, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. How are you doing today?
Well, I am good. What is happening over in your business arena, Chris Cantwell?
Well, you know, I always like to say that I work with people who create products and services that other people value because it makes their lives better. Yes, I love working with innovators. We want to innovate, not regulate, grow, and not be forced into what, you know, the mask wearing, the darn mask wearers.
Yeah, there you go. I'm not sure what words I can say on air. I guess I'm going to find out, Chris.
Yes, you will. So anyhow, Kim, good to talk with you this morning. And, you know, at the end of the day, it almost feels like we're back to normal. You know, we're not when you look at the data, but we were doing some Q3 planning earlier this month and just kind of realized we did 10 deals last month. We closed 10 businesses and put 10 people either into better situations or got them off to retirement. And we have 10 new entrepreneurs in the market. And this month, we're on pace to do another 10 deals. So we are open for business. We've stayed open for business. We're meeting with our clients, both buyers and sellers. You know, we've got large rooms so we can meet in person and keep the appropriate distances. Of course, we're meeting with clients on phone calls. We've done Zoom meetings, whatever the clients need to help us to continue to help them and to make these transactions happen. That's what we do. And, you know, the short and sweet of it is if you've got a business and you want to test the market, it doesn't cost you anything to put your business on the market. We list businesses for no cost. So, you know, if you're concerned that maybe it's just not the right time, we're starting to see some of these banks that are saying, yeah, we're going to look back at Q2, the COVID period, and throw it out and say, okay, what were you before and kind of how are you tracking now? And we're looking at some different ways to structure deals. So we're fully back engaged. We're making things happen. And if you've got a business you've been thinking about selling or you want to buy a business, hey, it's time. Let's go.
Well, and the Small Business Administration, through this COVID-19 thing, I don't know, was it through the PPP? But there is a real opportunity. And I know we're starting to bump up against the time where people would need to be acting to take advantage of that. So explain that, Chris Cantwell.
Yeah, so in one of the provisions of the CARES Act, says that if you purchase a business and use a SBA business loan to acquire that business, the CARES Act is going to pay your first six payments. So you're not going to have deferred payments on your first SBA loan payments. They're going to be paid through the CARES Act. So it's a great opportunity to buy a business. That deadline, however, is September 27th, and it takes about 8 weeks to get one of these SBA business loans done. So, you know, you'd really have to hop on something now, and we've got a lot of buyers that are trying to make some acquisitions before that deadline. So, that's definitely driving a lot of it, and some of them won't get through, and who knows, maybe the deadline will get extended. But either way, these people are going to become entrepreneurs and excited about it.
Okay, and the other thing that is so great about you, Chris, and Transworld Business Advisors, is you have a whole team. It doesn't, as you mentioned, it doesn't cost anything, but you can help people with the legal fees. Get them to the right people for legal fees, accounting, yeah, all that stuff. You have a team of people that you have ready and available to help folks with that.
Yeah, we have a team of resources that work on strictly business transactions. So attorneys who have done business transactions and CPAs who've done business transactions. We know some great financial planners that can help you with taxes and things along those lines. So yes, it's a full team, full support. And, we're the largest business brokerage company here in Colorado, and we've got 17 brokers and a commercial real estate division. So we're fully equipped to handle anybody from a very, very small mom and pop that's maybe doing a couple hundred thousand a year to somebody who's doing $10 million a year in revenue. We can help.
So how can people reach you, Chris Cantwell?
Yep, they can call me directly on my number, which is 844-SELL-BIZ, B-I-Z, 844-SELL-BIZ, or find all of my contact information on the KimMonson.com website.
Right. We've got just go to sponsors, the drop-down menu. You can click on Chris's landing page and get all kinds of information. So, Chris Cantwell, thanks so much. We'll talk to you here in a couple of weeks.
Sounds good, Kim. Thank you.
You bet. Have a great day. And we're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, it is summertime. The days are actually starting to get shorter, and it's just kind of hard to believe we're in all these seasons. But what a great time to go over to Hooters restaurants, sit out on the patio. I think we're going to start to see some sports here since there's all, I don't know what the arenas are going to look like and the ballparks are going to look like, but go over to Hooters restaurants. You can social distance if that's what you want to do. You can sit out on the patio. They have great specials starting, happy hour at Hooters is 3 to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. They have half off select appetizers. Wednesdays, today is Wings Day. All you can eat wings for $15.99. That's for dine-in. They have lunch specials. And be sure and just go out and treat yourself to Hooters restaurants. They're value partners of mine. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Matt Durkin, who is a candidate for district attorney in Jefferson County, we'll talk with him about keeping our community safe. So we'll be right back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. And go over to Facebook and give us a like. And you just heard the spot for I'm a Trumpster. Reggie Carr and Johnny Thomas, I tell you, they are true patriots. They are stepping forward. They're working to get this big bus that they're going to vinyl wrap and take into minority neighborhoods, ethnic neighborhoods, to promote certainly registering to vote and to vote for Donald Trump. And listen to their show on Sunday afternoons. It's from 4 to 5 p.m. We're helping them raise the money to vinyl wrap the bus. And in order to do that, go to I'm a Trumpster, imatrumpster.com. Contribute. For every $50 you contribute, you will receive one of their cool battle masks. And then just email me at Kim at KimMunson.com as well to let me know that you've done that. And I tell you, friends, from a grassroots standpoint, we need to help these guys. They are on the cutting edge of what's happening there. So again, go to imatrumpster.com to contribute, and then let me know at KimMunson.com that you did that. On the line with me is Matt Durkin. We've had a number of very important conversations with him. He is a candidate for district attorney for Jefferson County, and we are seeing what is happening in these communities with these activist DAs that are kind of politicizing the office. I think that's what I would say. And it is now coming to our community as well. So Matt Durkin, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Kim. It's great to be here.
I saw, and Patty pulled this piece from MSN.com, that just this last weekend here in the metro area, there was a gun battle. Three were wounded and one dead. That was up in Arvada. But over 5 days, over 6 days, we have had five homicides in our metro area. Matt, this is not the way we want to be going.
No, Kim, it's very, very concerning to see this explosion of crime that you and I have been talking about for several weeks and months now. Denver is looking to have the deadliest year that they've ever had. That's the city of Denver. Into June, they already had 48 homicides, and sadly, very tragically, eight of those were children. They had not reached 48 homicides until August in their deadliest year in recent years, and that was in 2018. They're already outpacing their murder rate last year, which was at 31 in the same period. So Denver is having a terrible, terrible, and very deadly crime wave. Aurora has had a 400% increase in homicide cases in parts of Aurora. So it seems as though, and this is the community in Denver speaking, things are spiraling out of control.
It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that as we start to have destructive riots and protests, as we have these conversations about defunding the police or reducing our police force, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that this is what's going to happen. Although I think a lot of people haven't wanted to believe that it would happen, but it is. It's happening right now. So what can we do about this, Matt Durkin?
Well, we need to be aware. We need to say no to this type of extreme conversation. We have been talking about preventing happening in what's happened in Baltimore, Philadelphia, Chicago, preventing that from happening here in Denver. But we're kind of seeing that happening in real time here in Denver. And it's very, very discouraging. But I think we have an opportunity right now to say no to this. We have to say no to people who are supporting minimization of penalties for felony murder. And at the same time, they're asking that we hold police more than accountable. We're asking them to bankrupt themselves. What we really need to do is we need to focus back to holding murderers accountable. So we need to really get involved and step in and say no to this extreme conversation.
So I think a lot of people in the suburbs think, okay, that's Denver. But it's not going to happen in Jefferson County. It's not going to happen in Douglas County. It's not going to happen in Adams and Broomfield County. What do you think about that, Matt Durkin?
Well, we're seeing last year in Jefferson County, we saw a significant increase in murders. And this year, we have seen four murders in Jefferson County since the lockdown began in March. And two of those were in June. So we are certainly not immune in Jefferson and Gilpin counties. And that's why we need to stay vigilant, right? Because we are seeing that creep of crime from Denver. And I know in my conversations with people out on the campaign trail, they are feeling that creep of crime. So we simply have to step in right now We have to support our police, and we have to support prosecution so that we can hold criminals accountable.
So, Matt Durkin, what happened up in Minneapolis with George Floyd, I think that all of us realize, in the American idea, each one of us has due process. That means that we can, we would be accused by a crime, we would be accused for a crime, we would go through due process and the legal system before we're convicted of that crime. So what happened up in Minneapolis was terrible because George Floyd was denied his due process. He was denied his life because of that. So I think that we agree on that. What is your comments, though, about that, that particular incident? What would you say to that?
I think it's a horrific tragedy, and I believe that we all stand united, probably more united than I've ever seen our country stand around any given situation in my lifetime. I think that from federal to state to local, from police officers to prosecutors to citizens, we all watched in horror as we saw what that man did to George Floyd. And it's absolutely a horrific tragedy that we need to prevent. And if it is going to happen, justice needs to be brought down on that police officer. I think every police officer in the country agrees with that. So that's why I think we actually stand more united than ever. And what's concerning is that is being used to divide us and to further not that justice for George Floyd, but rather it's being manipulated to achieve a political agenda that is very, very destructive.
Right. The division and the destruction is it's very, very bad for our communities. And so as we look at this, you just mentioned in Denver, we've had 48 homicides. This is in Denver, and 8 of those homicides are children. And it's a bit interesting to me that we're not seeing this conversation about that. That seems really an important conversation. Certainly the whole George Floyd thing, we're all united in that justice should be served there. But it seems like everybody's asleep at the wheel on what's really happening in our communities now.
Well, we're seeing violence erupting all over the country, both before George Floyd, but certainly after George Floyd. And there is, some reports, but it's concerning that it's not more prominent. Children are dying. They're dying in this violence in Minneapolis. Certainly, we saw horrific tragedies in Atlanta. And here in Denver, what we're seeing, and obviously it's still a little bit early to analyze each one of these cases, but we're seeing a rise in gang violence. We're seeing that since the lockdown has occurred, that people have lost their jobs and that they're coming out of lockdown a little bit more and more without jobs and without some of those after school or summer programs. And they're concerned in Denver and in Aurora about the resurgence of gang violence.
Well, for everybody to be able to sleep well at night, we need to have safe communities. So, Matt Durkin, how can people help you, and why you? Why should people support you?
Well, I tell you what, we've been on the campaign trail for a very long time, and well before George Floyd and a lot of what's happened, we have been adamant that we put public safety over politics, that these DA's offices are meant to serve justice, and that justice is based upon due process, like you have said. That George Floyd was not just denied due process, but that he was denied due process and by his life being taken by a police officer who was evil and did evil at that time. So we need public safety over politics. And sadly, what's happening around the country is these DA offices are being politicized to achieve some type of political agenda or ideology. So that's why we need to have as much support as we can. We make sure that the DA's office in Jefferson and Gilpin counties remains in strong prosecutors' hands who bases their decisions on justice and due process. So please go to durkinforda.com. That is durkinforda.com. Please go there to contribute and join our campaign to walk precincts, make calls, take a sign, and just let's go do this together.
Well, and these are some of the most important races in our country right now. So make sure that you help Matt Durkin out, and that is durkinforda.com, correct?
Yes, yes.
Okay, durkinforda.com. Matt, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you again here in a few weeks.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kim.
You have a great day. Jason McBride.
Well, good morning.
Happy Wednesday. It is hump day. This is always one of Steve's favorite days.
Yeah, absolutely. That and Friday, right?
And he likes Friday as well. So, I can see him rolling his eyes. So what is going on in the markets right now, Jason McBride? I know earnings, they're coming out. How's the market reacting to all that?
Well, the market's, doing what it does. Yesterday was kind of a bounce back day from the previous day's sell-off. The Dow was up over 500. NASDAQ was up about 100 yesterday, Kim. So, we regained a lot of what we had lost the day before. Not all of it on the NASDAQ, but we did regain a piece. This morning, things looked very interesting. The futures on the Dow are up over 500. NASDAQ futures are up, I think 70 points right now. A couple of good earnings reports are helping us. Goldman Sachs blew out earnings on both the revenue and the bottom line.
Really?
Yeah, very good quarter. And they've probably are doing well in their trading. With the market being so volatile, there's been some opportunity. United Healthcare also had a fairly good quarter, almost doubling their bottom line from last year. But some of the excitement this morning in the whole market, Kim, is a company called Moderna, which is a biotech. They did a trial with a coronavirus vaccine. They did say they described it as a robust immune response from the patients that were in the trial. So any time there's a hope of a vaccine where people could take that and then there wouldn't be any excuse for any more lockdowns or economic damage, the market certainly does like to hear news like that, and it's showing it this morning.
Okay, so, I'm like, you don't need to go to the amusement park. You can just watch the stock market if you want to be on a roller coaster. I mean, one day it's down, the next day it's up. But it seems like if people wanted to maybe take some money out of the market and find some place with yield, where would they go with that, Jason McBride?
Well, there's several places to look for yield now. Some stocks right now, stock prices are somewhat high, so many of the yields are low. But right now, some of the publicly traded, like the real estate trusts, the prices on some of those have come down a bit, which has helped, with the dividends. Some of what are called business development companies, publicly traded, prices are down. The dividends haven't necessarily changed, but there's always some risk there.
Mm-hmm.
Again, when you're looking at, again, like the real estate trust, if they own office buildings, and a lot of people are going to be, more people will be staying home permanently, that could be difficult. So, any time you go hunting for yield, usually there's a little bit more risk assigned to that than, you would get by buying the yield on a guaranteed U.S. Treasury bond.
Got it. So, well, if people want to sit down and have a conversation, kind of reassess where they are, I think now's a really good time to do that with the strength of the market. And I know that you and your colleagues at Presidential are ready and willing to do that. You've got a lot of experience and can certainly help tailor people's plans for their individual needs, Jason McBride.
You betcha. Well, Kim, I'm excited to see what happens today and see if we can get some progress. We can certainly help people out with their plans, with their overall needs, with their questions. And, it never hurts to have a second set of eyes, especially when things are good again and you're not operating from a panic mode. I'll tell you, if we look at your stuff and everything looks pretty good, we're going to give you that honest opinion, too. We're not there to just try and sell you something.
Yes, a second set of eyes is a good thing. So, Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, thank you so much, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
All right, Kim.
We're going to go to break. When we come back, Lawrence Reed, he is the President Emeritus of the Foundation for Economic Education. And the question on the table is, was Jesus a socialist? Stay tuned.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. And be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter at the website as well. On the line with me is Lawrence Reed. And he is the President Emeritus of the Foundation for Economic Education. And he was previously, well, let me just give you his bio one more time. He served as the chairman of the Board of Trustees in the 1990s, and he's been writing and speaking for FEE since the late 70s. He previously served for 21 years as president of the Mackinac Center for Public Policy in Midland, Michigan, and he has also taught economics at Northwood University. Lawrence Reed, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much, Kim. I appreciate your having me.
Well, it's great to have this conversation. Lawrence, the first time I heard somebody say that Jesus was a socialist, I kind of stopped and thought, What? And so you've actually really addressed this. So where should we start with that question?
I think we should start, Kim, with a definition of socialism, because it's not easy to nail down. Even socialists can't agree amongst themselves as to what it is. For a time, about a century ago, socialism was widely understood to be the government ownership of the means of production. And then everywhere that's been tried, particularly in communist countries, it was a total flop. So then socialists say, well, we'll get it right the next time. We'll have to redefine it a little differently. And today, many of them, by socialism, mean the welfare state. So whether it's the welfare state or central planning of an economy or government ownership of the means of production, any of those varieties, socialism ultimately, in any form, is best defined by a single term, force. Because if you just listen to a socialist and as they outline their agenda, it's not a list of helpful suggestions for the comment box. I mean, they are advocating the use of concentrated power, political force, to accomplish their various objectives. And it's been a disaster everywhere in world history that it's been tried.
Well, there's been a real romance with the word socialism now. Many of our young people are coming out of colleges and universities thinking that socialism is a good idea. And then, of course, If you have this narrative that Jesus was a socialist, although it's kind of interesting that many professors kind of dis-religion, dis-Christianity, dis-Jesus, but yet it seems like they're also trying to encompass him into that narrative. It's seems very confusing to me for our students.
Yes, it is, unfortunately. And, you know, students being in their late teens, early 20s, students at college anyway, they're susceptible to the way socialists market their ideas because they never tell the students, or rarely even suggested, that socialism may have a velvet glove, but there's an iron fist beneath it. So they're told frequently by their teachers that, well, socialism is caring for people. It's giving them things. It's being compassionate. And, you know, as young, idealistic people, young people are often sucked in by that. But sometimes with a little life experience, like paying taxes and raising kids, some of that gloss wears off. But socialists ought to be more honest and tell students right from the beginning that what they aim to do is to concentrate power in government and implement their agenda through the use of force.
So then the question on the table, was Jesus a socialist? We're seeing that people are trying to take that narrative and say that's the case. What do you say to them?
Oh, I tell them that they should pay attention to what Jesus actually said and not try to superimpose their own personal political agendas on the New Testament. There's nothing in the New Testament anywhere, nothing in any of the words of Jesus himself, that suggests he would advocate the use of force, political force, to achieve any of the objectives that socialists advocate. In fact, in the book of Luke, when he's approached by a man who says, Master, speak to my brother that he divideth the inheritance with me. In other words, hey, give me a little social justice here. Redistribute the wealth, get me a little bit more. Jesus' response was, man, who made me a judge or divider over you? And he rebuked the man for his envy and his covetousness. So they're just endless statements by Jesus himself in the Bible that suggest he would never support the ethics or the prescriptions for a socialized economy.
Well, we've gotten to, you mentioned the welfare state, and the two definitions that you gave us, with the welfare state, there does become either government control of a lot of means of production, because through rules and regulations and taxes, government can control that production, and they can take from one person to give to another. So this welfare state that we've gotten ourselves into, how do we get back out of this, Lawrence Reed?
Well, I think it begins with education. And by that, I don't mean the education establishment or the schools that presently people typically have to send their kids to, because they're part of the problem. It has to begin from the heart. People have to seriously consider what socialism is all about and ask themselves, do I really want that kind of a future for my children, a system that doesn't work, that concentrates power, that hands over our lives to politicians, that can't even begin to balance their own budget, let alone mine. So we have to educate them, and that's part of the purpose of this new book of mine, Was Jesus a Socialist?, to explain, at least to those who want to know what Jesus had to say, that he would not in any way be sympathetic to the ethics of socialism.
Well, and I've always thought that this, and we talk a lot about this on the show, Lawrence, is freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And socialism ultimately has to come down to force. And, you know, I feel that what's happening in America right now with the COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption, that the veil has come off on this use of force that has been percolating kind of underneath the surface. And I think that people are paying more and more attention. Before we went into this disruption, you know, the economy was humming along. I'm not sure that parents were paying as much attention to what was being taught to their kids at school. But I think that people are paying more attention to what is happening, which I think that I think that's a positive, Lawrence.
Yes, I agree, and I hope one of the things that they're paying attention to is the dramatic explosion of government spending and debt, because if we go full-blown socialist, you've only just begun to see how much debt and higher taxes and government spending that the socialists will give us, because if you listen to them, they are completely oblivious to the massive bill that we're handing to future generations. And what they want is far more spending. They don't even understand the economic implications of the this buildup of government power and spending we've already done.
Well, and I feel that this spending is really immoral. You know, America was founded on this idea of all men are created equal with these inalienable rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And, you know, from generation to generation, people have stepped up from, Bunker Hill to Gettysburg to, Normandy to stand against evil and to pass on freedom and liberties, to stand against tyrants and to pass on freedom and liberty to the next generation. And I'm very frustrated with my generation that what we're thinking about passing on to our kids is a big fat IOU. I think there's something immoral about that, Lawrence Reed.
Oh, I do too. You're absolutely right about that, because what it essentially does is it mortgages the future of our children and grandchildren for present gratification. So we can get all the goodies now the government is passing out with these massive deficits. We're willing to enjoy those benefits and simply send the bill to generations yet unborn even. I think it's fundamentally immoral to saddle future generations with the bills of the present.
But there seems to be no political will to have this conversation.
Yeah, unfortunately, and which underscores the importance of not putting your eggs in the government basket, because you can't rely upon politicians to do much more than what they think will benefit them in the next election, not what might benefit the next generation. All the more reason, I think, to keep government small in the first place. But I think also, Kim, that this underscores the miseducation that's happening across the country in so many universities and even in K-12 education. We should be asking ourselves, how is it that you go through 12 years of government schooling and maybe another four of university and come away thinking that the government is a fountain of free goodies and that we can just spend our way into prosperity? Yet millions of Americans think that.
They do think that, and the education system has, in many ways been hijacked, and we need to talk about that. Actually, I talked yesterday about the education system as well with Professor John Ellis, and one of the things that we need to do, I think, there is to probably stop funding these different institutions that are pushing forward those ideas, Lawrence Reed.
Yeah, I think a lot of the problem is that people can push nonsense from the ivory towers of academia, largely because a good source of their income is coercive taxpayer funding, and they get it whether they perform or not. They get it whether they're contributing to the advancement of our society or the destruction of our civilization. The more you throw things back to the individual choice of parents and taxpayers, the more you realize, well, they surely would spend their own money better than the way the politicians spend it, especially when they dish it out to universities the way they do.
Well, and we always have these discussions when it gets to election time. We need to fund education. We need to fund our higher education. But I think that we need to stop and say, wait a minute, what are we getting for that? You know, kids are taking on significant debt to go to school. Parents are paying, saving for tuition. Taxpayers are paying for that. And we're seeing kind of the fruits of that education right now. When I've mentioned it several times, but I went down to the Denver, the Capitol, during these protests. And I was a bit shocked as people were arriving around 4 in the afternoon. It looked like a bunch of suburban kids that were arriving mm-hmm. to protest. And I just thought that was a very interesting thing to see, Lawrence.
Yeah, what we've seen in recent weeks in our cities is you really should be thinking of it as the export of so much campus culture into our communities. Where is this craziness coming from? Things like cancel culture and politically correct extremism and hypersensitivity and disrespect for people's property and different opinions. It's coming primarily from academia. How many parents are sending their kids to college with the intention of inculcating them with this nonsense? Not many, but that's where they get it, and they come out the other end so often radicalized children.
And I've seen that happen. I've had parents say to me, I'm not quite sure what happened. And my kids have come back from college and they don't really you know, value what we've done, what we've taught them, and it's been very frustrating. But let's go to break. This is Kim Munson. I'm talking with Lawrence Reed regarding his piece, Was Jesus a Socialist? And this segues as well into this. And the question, Patty had found this, our researcher from Forbes, and that is that there's a coalition of some of the world's wealthiest people, including entertainment heirs Abigail and Tim Disney. They have signed an open letter urging governments to tax them more to pay for the coronavirus crisis. I'd like to hear what Lawrence Reed has to say about that, so stay tuned and we'll find out.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter there. Be sure and go over to Facebook and give us a like, and you can email me there at kim@kimmunson.com as well. On the line with me is Lawrence Reed. He is the president emeritus of the Foundation for Economic Education, and he has an excellent question on the table. Was Jesus a socialist? And Lawrence, it's great to have you on the show. I mentioned before we went to break that there was a Forbes article where a number of millionaires have written a letter saying, tax us more. This is so amazing. They say, unlike tens of millions of people around the world, we do not have to worry about losing our jobs, our homes, or our ability to support our families. So please, tax us, tax us, tax us. It's the right choice. It's the only choice. What would you say to that?
Well, I don't know why they're waiting for government to raise their tax rates. All they have to do is pull out their checkbook and send a voluntary contribution in excess of their taxes to the government. But this is one of the telling revelations about left-leaning people like those who signed this letter. It's not so much that they think government should get bigger and spend more and tax more because of the good things it does with the money. So many of them are more interested in punishing others. So the reason they don't write out donation checks to the government now is they're more interested in making sure their comrades in the world of enterprise who have money are punished. And that just never ends well. A society based upon things like envy and the desire to steal and take and punish other successful people is a society bound for disaster economically and spiritually.
And, okay, so what about the coronavirus? What's happening here with the COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption? We have seen, as you mentioned, a big expansion in government spending. But what about the government control of our lives? What would you say about that?
Oh, I think it's frightening. And it's based so much upon the science of the moment that often turns out a little while later to be junk science. We're jumping from one so-called expert opinion to another, often contradicting each other. My concern is that the government is getting such a taste of awesome power that when the COVID crisis passes, they're not going to be willing to roll it back to pre-virus, that you'll get this ratchet upward effect of where government retains a lot of the powers we thought it was acquiring for a temporary emergency. And there go your liberties, step by step, until ultimately there may be none left.
Okay. Many people, though, say, and you've mentioned this in one of your pieces, that Jesus said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. And I think many socialists, those that are grabbing power, kind of like that line. What would you say to that?
Yeah, I have a passage about this in my book, Was Jesus a Socialist? This was a very clever response on the part of Jesus to the Pharisees who had approached him, trying to trap him into something that they could take to the Roman authorities and say, ah, he's a tax evader, or he's condoning tax evasion. They held up a coin with the image of Emperor Augustus on it and wanted to know, what do we do with it, or who does it belong to? And they wanted Jesus to say something like, well, you know, it may be Caesar's, but don't give it to him. But when he said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, he's not endorsing, anything Caesar wants to take from anybody, no matter how much and for whatever purpose Caesar wants to put it to. I mean, there's no blank check here for government. He's actually leaving it to us to decide what is the proper role for Caesar and what is his and what isn't. And one of those options is maybe nothing belongs to Caesar. Jesus doesn't say whether that's the case or not. He leaves it to us, but it's so far from a blanket endorsement of anything that Caesar wants to take money for that it's silly to claim that this is some kind of a socialistic statement.
So what do we do about what is happening in our country right now, Lawrence Reed? Because I think you're absolutely right that once we get through this COVID-19 thing, politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties are not going to all of a sudden say, oh, here's your freedom back. What do we do about that?
Well, if I may be a bit self-promotional for a moment, I think this new book I've written, Was Jesus a Socialist, is something that could make a huge difference if we each secured a copy and gave it to our pastor or our priest, a person in religious authority in some way, and urge that they read it, because these are people of considerable influence. They speak to, millions every Saturday or Sunday morning. And that's a great place to start, I think, by passing the word on. So often people who believe, as we do, in things like liberty only commiserate amongst ourselves. But we don't try to reach out and say to someone, here's some ammunition, read it, and let's talk about it in a week. Things like that, I think, are the way you revive popular interest in what freedom is all about.
Well, and another thing that people can do is, Patty, my researcher, located that you're going to have a webinar, I think it's tomorrow, regarding Was Jesus a Socialist? So how can people sign up for that?
People can go to fee.org, and it's, I think, pretty prominently there. And they can register. It's free. It's at 4 o'clock Eastern Time, Thursday the 16th, tomorrow. If they have any trouble finding it, they can just shoot me an email. And my email is easy to remember, lreed, L-R-E-E-D, at fee, F-E-E dot org. Lreed at fee.org.
And I think it's really important that we engage in this conversation, Lawrence. I actually ended up changing churches because I've seen that a number of churches have moved away from preaching the gospel to preaching social justice. And this was, a number of years ago. And now we're kind of seeing this play out also with this whole white privilege thing as well. We've got a couple of minutes. What would you say about that?
Well, Jesus certainly was no social justice warrior in the context that phrase is presently used. He never advocated for the forcible redistribution of wealth. He never called upon government to punish people for the sins of their ancestors. There's nothing in the New Testament that suggests he would embrace that social justice agenda of today. He did advocate things like honesty and responsibility, but those aren't things that the social justice warriors today seem to be interested in. They're advocating a license for government to do just about anything to people to serve some political agenda instead of basing its actions on fundamental, real justice.
And so with that, Lawrence Reed, what would be your final thought that you would want to leave with our listeners today, people that have been grappling with what's happened in our economy with the shutdown, with, actually out here in Colorado, there was a report recently that Colorado is number two in the country as far as most restrictions on everyday people. What would you say to us? Because I don't like the way it's going here in Colorado right now.
Yeah, I guess, Kim, I would have to say this, that liberty something that all of us say we support is something that requires courage, courage to speak truth to power, courage to take risks, courage to stand up and defend what you know is right, courage to make decisions that may, in the short run, be disadvantageous or inconvenient, but in the long run are what's necessary to retain our freedom. So I would encourage people, don't just sit back and take what they throw at you. Stand up for what you know is right. Speak out. Talk to others and try to encourage them to do the same. Because without courage, a free society is in a dangerous world is simply not sustainable and not possible.
And Lawrence, one of the ways to have courage is to know what you're talking about. And so this book that you've written, Was Jesus a Socialist, I think is an excellent place to start. And of course, this webinar that you are having tomorrow, it is at fee.org events. And that is, Was Jesus a Socialist? Lawrence Reed, thank you so much for joining the show today.
My pleasure. Thank you, Kim.
And again, you can reach Lawrence at lreed@fee.org. That's lreed@fee.org. And our quote for today is from Lawrence Reed. He said that Jesus never endorsed the forced redistribution of wealth. That idea is rooted in envy. So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. Mountains climbing, twisting, turning further from my home. Young, like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive, I was born free. I was born free. I was born free.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, the source AM and FM. AM 560 and 100.7 FM. 560thesource.com.